We are a people of story. The story we tell and the ones that we hold on to help give our lives shape and meaning, both individually and collectively. Growing up, I was surrounded by a large family. There was never a shortage of cousins, aunts, or uncles, and we all lived really closely together. Now our family is more dispersed. We've moved to different places. But when we gather together, it's not long before someone utters the phrase, "Do you remember when?" And the stories begin to flow. There's the story of when my brother, thinking he could be like the stuntman he saw on TV, rode his big wheel down the back steps. That did not end for him as well as it did for that stuntman. And there's the story of me with little or no vocal training, standing on a stage at a family reunion, singing very off-key, but with so much enthusiasm and commitment. And I think there's a video somewhere that still surfaces from time to time. There are many stories of my uncle's farm, where we would ride horses, hunt Easter eggs, make homemade root beer, a process that my uncle convinced us would only work if all of the children would dance and chant around the cooler while he dropped in the dry ice that made the magic happen. All of these stories weave together to form a connection, a bond that transcends time and distance. And in retelling these stories, we continue the connections that link us together as family. Stories also help us remember and mark time. Growing up, I heard my dad talk about how he remembered exactly the place he was when he heard the news that President Kennedy had been assassinated. As a young person, I found this odd, that something could be so monumental that it seemed time stopped, and you could vividly recall years later the exact moment. But as an adult, I have those moments too. For me, it's 9/11. I was at home on maternity leave, standing in front of the television, watching the events unfold. My body still surging with post-pregnancy hormones, weeping as I held my newborn daughter close. And wondering how the world could be so perfect and so cruel in the same breath. Recently, I've heard people start to tell stories of where they were when they heard that life as we knew it would be paused due to a global pandemic. How they thought for sure that it would be just a few days, maybe a month, two at most. And they share their stories of how their lives changed as one month drifted into another. The stories of loved ones gone, of a new normal that emerged. We tell these stories again and again. To remember, to process, to make meaning of what's happened in our world, to know that we are not alone. Katherine Weinman writes, "Sometimes what's important will be told and repeated three times. You listen the first time," she says. "You hear the second time. and you feel the third time. When you listen, you become aware. That's for your head. When you hear, you awaken. That's for your heart. And when you feel, it becomes a part of you. That is for your spirit. Three times, she says. It's so you learn to listen with your whole being. And when we listen and hold the stories of one another with love and compassion, we open a space for healing to occur. Theologian Paul Tillich tells us that the first duty of love is to listen. To listen openly, compassionately, without judgment. So it is when we bear witness to the stories of others. And stories aren't just about remembering or forming connections or healing from our past. Stories also have a power to give meaning to our lives. Dan McAdams, an American psychologist and professor at Northwestern University, specializes in the field of narrative psychology. His approach to studying human lives places stories and storytelling at the center of human personality. McAdams asserts that we are all storytellers and that we are the stories we tell. It is through formulating and telling our stories, he says, that we shape and form the people that we are. In this way, McAdams says that we are all authors, creating meaning in our lives through stories. When something happens in our lives, we craft a story onto those events to make meaning of them. The way we shape those stories also shapes us. It shapes the person that we are and the way that we see ourselves in the world. In addition to shaping our perception of who we are, McAdams also says that through stories that we craft, we can discover our life's purpose. American author and theologian Frederick Buechner says that we find our purpose, or he calls it our calling, when we discover that place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. The stories we craft about our lives can reveal those places of gladness, those moments that make our hearts sing, those times when we know deep gratitude. When we know that, when we find that place, then we can find what the world needs, our unique gifts. The gifts that each of us bring and offer, and that helps us to discover our purpose, our reason for being. McAdams also says that our stories help us to integrate the past, the present, and the future. Our stories are unwritten and unfinished. And through those stories, we can envision the future. This is an idea that is different from the way that some other faith traditions see the future. And our Unitarian Universalist ancestors sacrificed and died for this idea. If you've looked at the Soul Matters small group packet this month, there's a beautiful explanation of this. And it goes like this. They say it is so important for us to remember that the ability to tell a new story has been at the center of our faith from the beginning. We rarely think of UU history in this way, but one of the beliefs that gave birth to our religion was the belief that human beings are the authors of their own stories, not passive characters in them. It goes back to that old theological debate for which our UU forebears gave their lives. All around them, people were saying God had predestined not just the big story of humanity, but our smaller individual stories too. Supposedly, the argument went, some of us were slotted for heaven and others for hell. And God had written a list of sinners and saints in ink before time began. So there was nothing that any of us could do about that. Well, our spiritual ancestors said, that's a bit harsh, don't you think? And from there, they argued for a different way to see things. Forget this extreme fate-driven story, they said. Freedom has a much bigger role than you've been told. God is not so much the all-controlling author of the world's story as she is the magical muse that lovingly lures us to make our narratives our own. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage." And our spiritual ancestors basically said the same thing, but with a friendly amendment added. It went something like this. All the world is an improv performance. Our job is to hop on the stage, pick up the storyline handed to us, and then put our own stamp on it. So fate and freedom. There's much more tension between these two than we might have thought, leaving us with questions like, are you an actor conforming to the scripts of others? Or have you found your way to becoming the director and screenwriter of your life? How are you struggling right now to regain control of your storyline? How are you and your friends working to regain control of the storyline of your community? Of our country. No matter which question is ours, the answer, friends, is the same. Don't give the storyline away. Don't give the storyline away. We have the power to craft our own story, to envision our future and work for it. What is the story we want to write at this time, in this moment? I know that many of us are anxious about what is to come in this new year. There is great uncertainty, much to worry over. I too feel it in my body. We cannot change the storyline that we will be handed. But we can choose how we respond. We can choose the story we write next. The world needs us to write a story in which we choose to side with love, to offer our gifts at the altar of humanity. What are the gifts that you bring? How will we as individuals, as a congregation, as a faith, center those whose stories have been marginalized? How will we offer shelter, sanctuary, refuge? No, we cannot change what is coming, but we can write a story that no matter what comes, holds love at the center, always. May it be so.